Hey guys, so today I am interviewing Erin, and this is awesome. So Erin and I recorded actually almost a week and a half ago, I think, and things got all messed up with the recording. Then I got the flu. It was a disaster. So we are re-recording today, and I love Erin's story because she has four boys. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to walk us through how Okrad potty training went for her and her four boys. Welcome, Erin. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yes. So my training is in speech pathology. And after doing that for a few number of years, then I started having kids and staying home. So now my boys are 2, 4, 6, and 8. We live in Nashville. And I am so thankful for Okrad potty training because they have all been fully potty trained before 3. And so that was my goal. And when I tell people that, they don't believe it. They say, oh, but what about at night? Or what about this? And I'm like, there's no what about. It's all done.
No what about.
Yeah, no. So it's great.
So I don't know if you remember. I mean, you probably remember your four-year-old more than you remember your eight-year-old.
Right.
So walk us through the process for the boys. You know, your challenges.
Yeah. So with my eight-year-old, I was coming off of working full-time in the school system with kids on the autism spectrum. Okay. So social stories, which is something that Carol Gray developed in the early 90s, was just really fresh on my mind. And these are just stories that you personalize for a child to teach them a social skill. Mm-hmm. So when it was time to start potty training, I thought I want to follow Jamie's method, but I really love and depend on these social stories. So I made this social story for Chip, my oldest, to use. And so about a month before we started potty training, he would read this book about himself and it would say, you know, I used to wear diapers, but now I don't wear diapers anymore. I use the potty. And so it talked him through the steps of using the potty. And that was kind of the first step in our potty training.
That's amazing. So tell me about this book. Did you make it like with Snapfish? Was it like a hardcover or was it just like photos?
Okay, that's a great, Snapfish is a great idea. Ours was so basic. It was a Google Doc, just 8.5 by 11 white sheet of paper, and I cut it in half. So it's a very small book and it probably has 6 pages in it. And so I would just write different little snippets on each page. And then I personalize it for each one of my boys with different pictures. And then the very last picture is finally after I learned how to use the potty, I get to pick out my own underwear. And so it would have a picture of the package of underwear they wanted, whether that was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Paw Patrol.
I just love this idea. I can't say that I specialize in autistic kids or any kids on the spectrum, but I do work one-on-one with them and we do potty train the children. But that is huge, especially with kids on the spectrum. That transition is so huge. It's not like the learning, it's that they struggle with transitions, change, you know?
Right. And so, yes. And I think that's why prepping them, you know, for the month leading up to it, we would circle it on our calendar. And, you know, that was almost as much for me gearing up as it was for them.
Noticing
this change is about to come, but also a note for me, like it's coming. Don't schedule things. Get your game face on.
And that's an awesome tool. But for anybody listening, you have to know your child for this. Some kids that can cause more anxiety, like the buildup. Mm. So sometimes I'm like, if your kid's prone to like overthinking, I always say, like, just bring it on them. Just like, I'm not using diapers today because they might start getting themselves all wound up.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Oh my God, I love this idea. And I had mentioned this last time. You guys know I'm in love with this book, Hunt, Gather, Parent. And they, you know, in these other cultures, they rely on social stories for everything. And there's nothing like even behavior. So like not in a hot moment, not after your kid just clocked another kid.
Right.
But after everything, you know, you might be tucking them into bed and you could say something like, you know, I had a hard day at work today. There was this guy that I felt like I was so mad at him. I wanted to hit him, but I didn't because I could feel myself getting red or hot. And so we can relay these lessons without being like, listen, you can't hit your brother.
Yes. It provides a great opportunity. And then they go and pick the books up on their own. Our main social stories are for potty training and passy, giving up the passy, because tend to happen simultaneously. So we've got two going at the same time.
And that works for all your boys. All your boys love those books.
They loved them. Yes. And in fact, I was cleaning out the other day and they were laying out and they just love to sit down because what kid doesn't like to look at pictures of themselves? Yep. And so, yeah, that works. We also in our house use a peace corner. So when we're potty training, and sometimes they would get really wound up and they would have an accident and they would get upset or they just flat out didn't want to do it. And we just go take a break. They go to the peace corner. They find one of their tools to regain their self-control. And that helps us. That's a tool we use as well.
Wow. You're a treasure trove. Talk to me about this peace corner though, because I am adamantly against calm corners. And so it seems similar. So I'll tell you my thing.
Okay. Yes. Tell
a lot of people design the calm corners. They're designed by an adult. So I think right there, like my vision of what you need to learn emotionally. And so people have like emotion charts and they have all these calming books and it's very lovely. But most of the kids I work with, they don't need to calm down. They're like rageful. So they'll trash this corner. So I set up throwing corners instead where they can throw like their beanie bit, anything soft. There's pillows and they can throw and vocalize and like, you know, get their rage out.
That's great.
You know, it's just energy. So, but your peace corner, talk to me about that.
Yeah. Okay. So the peace corner. So I do. So when I feel like we're going through a time where we're having trouble with our self-control, and this is for adults or kids, we can go to this. We can go to this place, this table, and I put a lot of things out and then I kind of let them figure out what works for them. So for my six-year-old, he is so sensory and he loves those Nido balls. And he just squishes them and twists them in every which way. My older son loved the sand and raking in the sand and rocks. And then he would like battle the rocks with each other.
Yeah.
And then my third son really likes to run. Like you said, run, run, hit something to get it out. So it's a picture album of kids doing all of these things to get their energy and rage out. So he can say, you know what? I want to run around the house or I want to go outside and hit the punching bag. That's what I need to do right now. And so then that's what he does.
And so do they each have their own peace corner or there's one peace corner and you just kind of can foreshadow?
Yes, there's one peace corner. It's not like a punishment.
Right,
it's,
exactly.
Hey, you know, I see you are having a hard, hard time with those emotions right now. What tool do you think we should get out of our toolbox, out of our peace corner? And so maybe for one, it might be sitting reading a book away from all the noise of the brothers.
Yes.
You know, and it's just different for all of them, but they know all the tools are there to hopefully regulate those emotions.
Yeah, I want you to be my mom.
You have this
under wraps, man. It's awesome.
No,
because this brings up, I know we're veering away from potty training, but this has to do with when kids have big emotions. And especially after the pandemic, we just have this like, we now have an epidemic of kids with no self-control. They don't know how to self-regulate. Yes. And they're also like on pins and needles. They're very anxious. Right. This is an anxious round of kids. What's fascinating is, so I didn't like calm corners. I just found that they weren't working for clients. And who, like, also, you know, when you're in a rage and your husband says, honey, calm down, like, I'm going off the chain if that somebody tells me to calm down.
No,
and so, so I started doing the throwing corners again to just like, to me, when I get rageful, like the energy gets stuck. Like it gets stuck if you try to suppress it or just, you know? And so I came up with a thing called go to your room strategy. Again, not a punishment, not a timeout, but sometimes you can't co-regulate. Sometimes you can't be in the mix. Like the brothers are stimulating you.
Yes.
Mothers, we talk too much. We activate them again. And so it was really just like, this is kind of long. And you guys, if you want to go to my other podcast, they just released an episode today called When Co-Regulation Doesn't Work about this very thing, which is you can co-regulate with your child, but that doesn't necessarily teach them how to self-regulate. And so what I love about your peace corner is you've really identified how your individual kids self-regulate. And so it's not necessarily just being there peacefully while your kid throws a fit. It's like, hey, what are the tools in our toolbox? And I keep maintaining that one of our issues today is we know social emotional growth is super important and we try to teach it out of a book, but then we don't live it in our daily life. And it just sounds, I love what you're doing because it's like integrating. It's like emotions are part of life.
Yes.
You have a toolbox, let's figure it out. And so that just, it's so awesome. Weave that in with the social stories and you've just got this like, of course, body training went well.
Yes. Well, I just feel like, it just takes, you have to do that organic, teachable moments. It can't just be, let's read a book about self-control. It's got to be in the moment. and pointing out the times they do use it, that positive reinforcement, as much as it is showing them, you know, a tool when they really are lacking self-control, it's also calling out the moments they chose to use self-control and you notice that was hard, but they did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I'm also going to recommend this episode for anybody. At least twice a day, somebody says, you know, what's a good book on potty training? And I have none because they're so crappy. They're like, I go to the potty. There's one called Potty Train and it's like, choo, choo. I pee, choo, choo. And I'm like, yeah, but this doesn't explain anything.
No,
And so now, were you working when you were potty training or were you a full-time stay-at-home mom?
I was working with my oldest. I was working. And so we just picked, like you said, you know, we just picked a block of time where I wouldn't, where I wasn't going in during a certain time. So we picked like 4 days and then I sent him to school. I explained what we were doing. And of course he had accidents, but it was okay. And we made it through. With the others, I have been at home full time. So.
And would you say one was easier than the other or?
You know, I can't tell if it was like a rookie, you know, just beginners. It's going to be anything the first time is going to be hard. So I can't tell if that was hard. I will say we potty trained with my oldest when he was 27 months. Okay. And I thought I waited a little bit later for the second, third and fourth, more closer to that 30 month mark. Yep. And I felt, I don't know if that was easier or if my experience made it easier.
Yeah, a little of everything probably.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You're right. The first one, we're so intense with the first one.
Oh, like, so intense.
You know, so focused and you don't have much else going on. And now is your 2-year-old potty trained or is he coming up?
So he is fully potty trained. And I've never seen a child, this is going to be a lot of info, but I've never seen a child, none of my others, it was almost like he had to learn. And I think you talk about this in the book, how to get all of his pee out at once because he would just do a little and then done. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
But we just stuck with it, like you said. And
sometimes they're just too busy. They're too busy. Yes. And I always give too much information. I pee like 6 times an hour. And I'm sure I need pelvic floor rehabilitation, but also like I feel like I'm a toddler inside. I'm busy. Like I just don't have time to sit there and let it all out. And then I have to pee again in like 7 minutes.
Exactly.
Sometimes too, like with poop too, this happens with poop is that like those sphincter muscles, they'll just kind of act in their own accord. So they'll like open and then kind of slam shut, you know? So that could be it.
Yeah. Well, we had a few issues, but we worked through it. And after a week, he was fine. You know, I tried to bypass some of your timelines. I was like, you know, he's the baby. He's wanting underwear so bad. I'm just going to go straight to the undies. No. We backtrack. It didn't work.
I always tell people too, I was like, my book is a guide. Like, and people make me nervous when they go, I followed it to a letter. And I was like, it's not, you know, like not every kid's going to respond to every single thing I say, you know, but the underwear is a big one.
It was a big one. I said, no more. You're not in trouble, but no more until we've got it down.
Yep. Yeah. And it is, it's like a great natural consequence. Like you said, you're not in trouble, but the kid is like, well, I really want the thing. It's the best natural consequence.
Yes. It doesn't work right now. It doesn't teach you how. So we've got to give you what you need to be successful. And so right now that's no undies.
Yeah. And now let me ask you this, because you seem like you got your shit together. You seem very regulated. So in any of the moments with your kids, like, I love your attitude of like, yeah, there were some accidents, you know, we worked through. That is such a great attitude because there are going to be accidents. The child's going to fall. Like nobody wants to walk without falling, you know?
Right.
Moms will contact me and be like, I'm devastated. He had an accident at daycare. It's like, girl, you can't be devastated.
No.
Now.
No. I think there were times with each one, all four, there were times that I said, you know what? I'm ready. This is too hard. I'm ready to throw in the towel.
Okay.
But then I didn't. And it's sure enough, because I feel like I remember from the first time I read the book, I feel like it said, there's going to be times where you feel like quitting and don't persevere, keep going. And then, you know, we were made to do hard things. And so when I'm telling my kids that, I'm like telling it to myself, we were made to do hard things and we keep pressing on and pressing through. And we see the light. And so, you know, but I think that feeling of wanting to give up is normal.
And it's almost, I feel like it's a dark night of the soul. It's the minute you are going to give up the next day, almost always it turns around. It's
yes.
Like, oh, thank God I didn't. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yep.
And I tell parents all the time, like Pascal, of course, I'm the potty training lady. He was easy to potty train, but night training, I was crying. I was on my knees and it was one night I was like, I can't anymore. F it. I don't care. I don't care if he wakes up, fell out of the bed. I'm not waking up. I can't do this. And that was when he started to stay dry.
And I was like,
you know, nobody comes out of this unscathed.
No, it's hard. And you know, and it takes some risk. I feel like I've had friends who say, well, my kid just never wakes up dry, or they did one time. And so, but like you said, you have to show them that you trust them. You know, you're going to be changing a sheet every now and then, but it's okay. And they'll get it. They do.
Sometimes it's just time. We got to give them more time. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think the scariest risk is always like you're at home, you've done like block one and two, you're like all set, I got this. And then you have to leave the house and you're like, like driving to the library with white knuckles, like don't be in the
house. Yes.
That's always, I think, the biggest leap of faith.
It is, with the potty chair in the back, just in case we need to pull over.
Yep. But. Yeah. A lot of this is trusting the child. And then did you night train and day train at the same time, or did you do them slightly separate?
You know, I feel like with my first, I did them separate because I could not even fathom all of that at once. I was like, no, that's too much. But then as time went on and the kids seemed to pick it up even quicker, it was just a natural progression. And so I feel like with the second, third, and fourth, after, you know, about 5 days of potty training, it was just natural. They were dry and we started nighttime. It was easy.
There's something about that. There's something about being in line with the other kids. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, oh, okay, that's what you do. So I love that about, you know, a lot of siblings is like, okay, this is what we do.
Yes, exactly. So that's why, but I couldn't even fathom doing daytime and nighttime at the same time with the first one.
Yeah.
But like I said, the best advice that you give is never buy pull-ups. And so we never went the pull-up route. And people ask me, you know, when kids go to spend the night at other kids' houses, they're like, does yours wear a pull-up still? I'm like, no. Jamie says, don't even go to pull-ups. So we don't do that.
Yeah, it's weird, right? I have to be honest, like at some point, you know, I've said this several times on the podcast, there are bedwetters and there have always been bedwetters.
Yes.
So we have to like leave room for that, but there's not.
Right.
There have never been the amount of bedwetters that there are now. And so when I see 6-year-olds in pull-ups, I'm like, guys, you missed the window. Come on now. Yeah.
I know. Of course, there are exceptions. That's why there's rules. There's exceptions.
Of course. There's always going to be. Yes, yes. And so I always tell parents, like, I don't want to sound judgmental, but you got to give it a solid try. And the thing about bedwetting is there is a genetic component. So a lot of times somebody will come to me for a consult on night training and it turns out both parents were bedwetters. And I was like, no, you guys are doing an uphill battle here. You're going to have a bedwetter. Yeah.
Yes.
And did any, so your three other boys kind of went effortlessly after that. Was your first one a little tough for night training?
Yeah, he was, because he would, you know, he would save, he would not poop all day. And as soon as I put the diaper and put him in his bed,
there we
have that. And so I was just really frustrated. And but we made it through and eventually he stopped. Now, I will say this last one, he's not a great sleeper. So he was waking up in the night and he likes to have a water bottle in his bed.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah. And so because brothers have water bottles in their bed. And so I don't know what it is. But so he would wake up about 3, but I had the potty chair by his bed. And so he would yell out for me and I would go in there and he would use the potty and then go back to bed.
Oh, so that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we did that for a few weeks, but now I feel like that's calmed down.
Yeah, it's tricky because a lot of parents get mad. They don't want to like dehydrate the kid. I'm like, well, try to fit the water in earlier because it's a lot. But if you can somehow teach them to call out for you, that's great, you know?
Right.
Yeah. With night training, did they go through that weird thing where they wake up early in the morning to pee because they have to pee? Like most of us have like a 5 a.m. pee.
You know what? No, they didn't. Awesome. But our regular wake up time is 6 a.m. in this house. And so I feel like it's already a very early wake up time. So I'm thankful they did not do the extra early.
Yeah, well, that's a good time.
Yeah,
6 a.m. is already early. Yeah.
Yes, that's enough.
Yeah, because that happens in night training. The kids wake up a little bit earlier and the parents freak out. And I'm like, it settles down. But yes. Also, my son woke up at 5:30, even in utero, he started doing cartwheels. And so when people tell me that they need to sleep till 7, I do get a little like, well, suck it. Every single day.
That's a vacation. 7 a.m. is a vacation.
Oh my God. My son turned me into a morning person. Yeah. And I swear to God, the other day I like slept in. It felt like I was on vacation, luxurious. Like I like slept for hours and it was like 5:45.
I love it. I love that.
Erin, this has been great. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Do you have any like words of wisdom that you'd like to leave mamas with?
Oh man. I just feel like your book, Jamie, has just been life-changing, and it's taken one of the, one of the most challenging things about parenting and just given you me just step by step. And if you follow it and tweak it to fit your own family and needs, then it's going to be a big blessing. And it just makes a challenge just almost a joy, almost fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
if we could reframe it, like we love every other milestone. We're like, I can't wait for them to walk. I can't wait for them to ride their bike. And then we're like, potty training.
Yeah. But reframe it. And it's a great milestone. And then, yeah. So, and I think it's just all about your mindset as a parent.
Thank you for that. It's such an exciting milestone. And it just reminds me of my son literally just got his driver's license. It's such a similar, even though it's a different learning, of course, there's like all this new freedom, you know? And there's also this like, I can see sometimes he just wants to maybe listen to his music and not go drive himself somewhere.
Right,
and I'm like, oh, that's right. You got a little more responsibility now. And that's like potty training is like, oh, no, I got to think of this thing, you know?
Exactly. And they're learning that. So I feel like, you know, we all went to the grocery store the other night and one by one, they all said, I need to go potty.
Yeah.
And I found myself getting a little frustrated, but I'm like, no, this is more freedom, more responsibility. They have to learn. Next time they'll think, oh, wait a minute, before we leave home to go somewhere, I'm going to do this.
The bummer about teaching your child about their bodily functions is now they know about their bodily functions.
Yeah, exactly.
But you might find this interesting. I always do this. I think we're ending and then I find other things to say. You know, I have noticed like huge language bursts after potty training. So as a speech pathologist, you might find that interesting. Like kids learn a couple of words and then they learn potty training and all of a sudden, huge language bursts. And so I think it like carves neural pathways in a very specific way of learning. And then all of a sudden there's language. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I could definitely see that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, Mama, I have taken enough of your time. Wow. Again, I thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it. And keep rocking it.
Thank you. You too. I can't wait to share this social stories business. People are going to love this.
Oh, thank you, Jamie. Well, and if you want to give, you know, a copy or somehow use ours as an example and people can take it and do with it what they want, let me know because it's just a Google Doc.
So. Okay. Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Erin.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie. Bye.
Bye.